Really glad that you're here, and I certainly hope you'll be able to stay for our potluck meal following our worship service, and then an abbreviated worship service after our meal. We also plan to do our planning meeting for the year 2026, which is now upon us. We tried to do this in December, but with weather and things like that, we unfortunately weren't able to. And so I hope you can stay for all of these things. And so we get into 2026, map out some things, and see various ways where we can better improve our service to God as a congregation, but even I would say individually at the same time. So I don't think I've ever preached a sermon in my entire life on the subject of gambling. But I realize more and more that gambling is becoming more popular, more readily accessible than ever before. And I think it's, as Christians, it's time maybe we talk about it. I grew up in a household that said that any kind of gambling is wrong and is sinful and you should abstain from it. Okay? And maybe that's the household you grew up in, right? By the way, spoiler alert, I still believe that. Okay? I still believe that. And I want to share with you why I believe that. But I want you to think about it. You know, when it comes to you go to a high school event and you're bombarded with 50-50 raffle tickets. Last night, my kids had a basketball game. And as soon as we walked in the door at this high school, it was, hey, 50-50 raffle, right? All over the United States now, here in West Virginia, is racetracks, dogs tracks, horse racing. There's casinos, there's bingo halls, there's poker rooms, there's lottery tickets at the gas stations. I even saw last night, I noticed there were slot machines at a gas station that we had stopped at coming home from Clay Battelle High School. You know, literally slot machines in a gas station. I couldn't believe it, you know. Everywhere you look, there is an opportunity to gamble. And it's not just there. I mean, you can go even around here to gamble, basically. Here in our own town, you can walk in and do slot machines and things like that. And, you know, it's not just in locations. It's on our phones now. You know, whether it be betting on sports, whether it be DraftKings or all the other different apps you could use to bet. People bet on all kinds of different things, by the way, too. It's not just wins. Sometimes people bet on who's the first team to score a touchdown today. I remember last summer, it was kind of funny, but I'm not endorsing gambling. There was a WNBA player, and there was literally a bet going on if she would miss her first shot of the game. And for like four or five games in a row, she did. She missed her first shot. And people won money, basically, on that. You know, there are crypto-based betting platforms. There is people betting when it comes to sports on the coin toss. How many yards a guy's going to get? How many strikeouts a person's going to get? How many home runs a person will hit in a game? The length of the national anthem people have bet on. The color of the Gatorade that a coach will get, you know, basically poured on him, people bet on, right? People bet on the margin of victory. People even bet on esports and video games. I don't even get that one, by the way. Or people bet on who's going to win the Oscar or Academy Awards or TV reality shows like Survivor or The Bachelor. They literally bet on who's going to get voted out or who's going to win that, right? People bet on how much money a movie's going to make the opening box office weekend, or celebrity engagements or divorces. People bet on that, how long that's going to last, right? People bet on Supreme Court decisions, government shutdowns, hurricane counts, how much snow's going to fall, the name of a baby that some, you know, a famous couple is going to have, right? I mean, people even bet on the color of celebrity outfits. I mean, first off, get a life, you know? You know what I mean? Like, what are you thinking, right? But it's my point is gambling and betting is more than ever, we're bombarded with it, and more than ever, it's accessible for us. So as Christians, how do we navigate through that? Well, here's what I want to do actually starting out this morning, okay? What I want to do is I actually want to start out with bad arguments I've heard all my life we've got to stop using against gambling, okay? And here I'm telling you, one of the reasons why through 20 plus years of ministry, I've seen Christians get into gambling is because they grew up hearing arguments that don't hold water, that are not convincing of why you shouldn't gamble. You understand that? Let me give you three of them that I've heard all my life. For instance, number one, bad argument number one is gambling is wrong because you win at the expense of others. Where is that in the Bible? That's the first point. Where is the verse that would back that up? By the way, in other words, winning means you make money while others don't make money. By the way, that happens in business every single day. Do you understand that? Okay? If we didn't have a potluck today and my family decided we were going to go out to eat, all right, guess what? We're going to choose one restaurant over another, right? If I ask my youngest son, we're going to Burger King. You understand that? Guess what? McDonald's didn't get our money. You understand? Or if there are two clothing stores, okay, that are right beside each other, okay, and one has advertised 50% off on all of our clothes and the other store it doesn't advertise that at all, guess where I'm going? The cheaper clothing store, right? What is that? One business made more money than another. That's competition, in other words. You understand that? And by the way, in the business of sports, because sports a lot of times at the professional level and now college level really is a business. That happens all the time. So this argument, I wouldn't use it. It's not convincing at all, okay? Let me give you a second one real quickly. Notice, the second argument I've heard people say, well, gambling is wrong because you gain money, or it's wrong to gain money by risk or by chance. Let me ask you something. Where's that in the Bible? Where is that in the Bible? Okay? By the way, if it's wrong to gain money by risk or chance, then it's also wrong to put money in the stock market. It's also wrong to do any kind of investments, right? And by the way, business owners on a daily basis take risk and make decisions based on chances, you know, calculated risk, right? That's business. You know, you're anticipating various things. You know, retailers are anticipating that, hey, Black Friday on for Christmas shopping, you know, their sales are going to be better, right? People take risk like this all the time in business, and it's not gambling. So that argument, again, number one, it's not found in the Bible, but number two, it's a bad argument. Let me give you the third one, and we'll move on to some points of why I think we shouldn't gamble, okay? Number three is people say, well, the Bible says to work. That's true in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. The problem is what is work? What exactly is work? Is work only a job that consists of manual labor? Is work only a job that consists of 7 to 5 or 9 to 5, right? What about people who are business people, who are business investors? What about landowners who rent their land out for farming or timber or things like that? Is that a 9 to 5 job? They're still making money, right? And technically, by the way, to be fair, I'm against gambling. There are people out there who have a profession of playing poker. And they make money by playing poker. Well, just because they don't have a shovel in their hands, they're not technically working? We stop using those arguments. And I don't mean that in a mean way or anything like that. But they don't work. They don't prove anything, and they actually drive Christians into gambling when we use them. They're terrible arguments. They don't make sense when you begin to analyze them, all right? So here's what I want to do now. I want to give you 5 passages to consider. The first one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. So turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. What I want to do is, you know, maybe you're a Christian who doesn't gamble and you've are going to abstain from it for the rest of your life and it's never affected you, that's great, by the way. All right? Maybe you're a Christian who's questioning whether or not gambling is okay because you've heard these bad arguments that don't hold water, right? Or maybe you're a Christian that is gambling and gambles a little bit, whether it be lottery tickets or something like that. I want you to sincerely, you know, I found sometimes with sermons like this, some people have already made their mind up. It doesn't matter what I say, they're going to go out, they're going to continue to buy lottery tickets and lose money the rest of their life and be foolish, okay? I found some people are going to do that. But I'm inviting you this morning to be honest and open with me as much as possible. And I want to ask you five questions now in regard to gambling. And I think you'll find that if you are honest with yourself in asking these five questions, you'll leave the doors this morning with the realization of, I got to stay away from this. Gambling is a bad idea. All right? Here's question number one. Who is controlling who when it comes to gambling? Who is controlling who? The Bible says, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. And now notice, but I will not be brought under the power of any. What's he saying there? Well, let's talk about context real quickly. In context here, Paul has been talking about various sins. Some of them have been sexual sins. Whether it be sexual immorality in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, or whether it be in verses 9 through 11 preceding this verse, homosexuality, adultery, fornication, but also stealing and theft. And one of the things that Paul is saying is, hey, even if there are some things that are okay for me, some things can become wrong if I become enslaved to it. Do you understand that? It's not wrong to, for instance, go bowling, right? But is it possible for a person to become addicted to bowling or some other sport where they never come to church, they spend all of their money on it, and, you know, maybe bowling is a bad example, you know? Yeah, we understand that. And we get to the point in life that if we're enslaved to something or we're addicted to something, we ask ourselves the question, who is controlling who? Because Paul says, okay, there's some things that are sinful. And one of the things about sin is sin can enslave us. But then there are other things that can become sinful because they enslave us. And that's one of the problems with gambling. By the way, gambling is arguably one of the most powerful addictions out there. It really is. It is one of those, and let me just kind of give some things in regard to the power of addiction and everything, all right? At the center of a gambling addiction, all right, is in our brain, here I am, I'm getting technical and I don't want to be, is dopamine. Well, what is dopamine? Everybody has dopamine in your brain. Dopamine is the pleasure chemical in the brain. It is the reward system in the brain. It is the feel-good part in the brain. And it is the motivational and learning chemical in the brain, too. And when a person gambles, I want you to think about this. The excitement of winning something, okay, releases dopamine, all right? The unique thing, though, about gambling from other, by the way, other addictions is it's the most powerful reinforcement pattern the brain has because you unpredictably win things, okay? In fact, it is noted that when a person wins at a slot machine or at a poker table or they win a lottery ticket, actually, that produces higher dopamine spikes than other chemical addictions like drugs or alcohol or something, all right? And the thing is when you think about a slot machine or a card game, you know, the brain over time, the more you gamble, you literally rewire and retrain your brain, okay, to lose self-control and to be solely motivated on that excitement and that feeling. In other words, the longer you gamble, okay, the longer our decision making, our self-control fades away. And the more you'll find that over time, that thrill of winning something just takes over and is the dominating force. And not only that, though, but with the addition of tolerance and so many other things, I could probably do a whole lesson just on the addiction part of gambling, but I want to tell you something just really quickly, all right? People who are enslaved to gambling oftentimes have financial debt, bankruptcy, they drain their retirement, they lose their savings, they have to take out loans, they owe people money, the legal trouble. In fact, they estimate that half of all gambling addicts will commit crimes specifically to feed their gambling debt or their gambling addiction. Oftentimes, gambling addicts end up divorced, loss of friendships, they're untrustworthy, they lose a lot of friends and relationships. Why? Because nobody wants to be around somebody who's constantly borrowing money so they can go gamble it away, right? Or nobody's trustworthy, right? It's the same thing with guilt. By the way, people who have the highest rate of suicide among all addictions, by the way, the highest rate of suicide among all addictions is those who gamble. I mean, it's not even close, actually, when you begin to look these things up. And so my point is why would we ever take the first step into an addiction or an enslavement that will destroy your life, right? Well, maybe you're one that says, well, you know, I can control my gambling. I have self-control and everything and all of that. And read 1 Corinthians 10:12. The Bible says, let us therefore, any man who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Anytime we ever come to something and say, well, I can handle that. I'm good enough. I'm mature enough. I have enough. You're about to fall. You're about to fall. Question number two. And I think this one is very powerful when it comes to gambling. Number two is, what's my motive? Some people say, well, you know, I just gamble for fun. Well, you know what? I can do a lot of things for fun that doesn't require gambling. You know what I mean? I can do a lot of things for fun. And I understand, too, how gambling, you know, looks fun. It really does, right? You know, but let me ask you something this morning. Why participate in a 50-50 raffle? Why do you do it? Do you really do it for fun, or do you actually do it for the hopes of winning a prize? Why do you go to a casino? Just for fun? You know, the stakes really good? Really? You know? Are you going there in hopes of winning money, right? I want you to go over to 1 Timothy chapter 6 real quickly. I want you to think about these things. You know, why would you bet online? And by the way, there are so many little games now, apps on our phones. I found as I started researching this that there are actually platforms where they're targeting our own children for gambling. I mean, think about that. If anyone who is more prone to become addicted to gambling, these companies are smart. They know who to target, by the way. And they're targeting children right now. You know, through roadblocks and some of these games these kids are playing, I began researching this. I'm like, what? What? You know, I felt bad as a father. It's like, what am I missing here? You know, why has, you know, this just been, you know, why have I been blinded to this? You know, but anyhow, the real reason why you gamble is that desire to win money. And in our text in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul deals with our relationship with money, right? Notice in verse 9, the Bible says, those who desire to be rich, what's it says? Fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish, harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now look at verse 10 now. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Let me ask you something this morning. If you've ever gambled in your life, can you honestly sit there and tell me it was not because you desired to be rich? Have you ever gambled this morning? And honestly tell me this. Was it because or was it not because of the fact that you loved money? And the Bible says when we have that, notice those two phrases in verses 9 and 10, the love of money, those who desire to be rich, what is the unintended consequence in both of these verses. Notice, you fall into temptation. You set yourself a trap. That's what a snare is in verse 9. Look at verse 10. Those who love money is one of the greatest motives of all acts of evil. Whether it be stealing, whether it be murdering, whether it be robbery, it's all because of the heart of greed. So I ask you, question number one, who's controlling who if you gamble? Okay, question number two, can you honestly say you're doing it with a pure heart? Let's get to question number three now. Question number three is what about my example? What about my example? I want you to go over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 now in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And, you know, while I do this, I want to share with you three stories real quickly. Two of them were about me, actually. When I was 18 years old, before I went off to preaching school, I did construction for a period of time. And one day, it was the end of the day, we were wrapping up and we were on a job site, and the foreman was going around and he was making sure everything was wrapped up. So some of us were still on the clock, but we're kind of waiting, you know, kind of deal. Well, I noticed three of my buddies were doing a game I'd never seen before, and it was called pitching quarters. You ever heard of that? And basically what you do with pitching quarters is you pitch a quarter against the wall, and the person who's closest to the wall gets all the quarters. You know, simple game, right? And I thought, well, I'm bored. I've got time. I'll join them too, right? So I started pitching quarters with them. I didn't even, to be honest with you, I didn't even realize or consider how that was considered gambling at that time. I didn't think anything about it. And that day, I'll just tell you this, I lost 75 cents. That's a lot of money, right? No. But I'll tell you what I lost more than 75 cents. I lost my influence that day. You know why? Because after we got done pitching quarters, right, for 2 or 3 minutes, those guys went off to themselves and said, I cannot believe that guy is a preacher and he's gambling. In other words, call it a double standard, call it what you want. Here were three guys that thought, I don't go to church, it's okay for me to gamble. But they looked at me because they knew that I was a preacher and said, that preacher's gambling. By the way, I never pitched quarters ever again after that. And I didn't realize that in the moment that it really was gambling, but it was still, I don't think it was right for me, but it hurt my influence. Fast forward about 10, 15 years later. I had some family of mine years ago that would get together on Friday nights, uncles and stuff, and they played a game called penny poker. All right? Now, by penny poker, I literally mean they're playing poker, the game poker, not with chips, but actual pennies. Sometimes quarters, sometimes dimes, but primarily pennies. And most of the time, you know, if they won anything, they won $5. If they lost anything, it was like $7 or $8. You know what I mean? And it was, you know, penny poker, right? You're just losing pennies. And, you know, you would spend more money going to the gas station a lot of times, to be fair, right? I never once played. Do you know why? Because of my example. It's penny poker. It doesn't matter. If there's ever a photo of me or if there's ever me sitting down playing poker with actual money, that's a preacher. That guy's a Christian. What about my influence? You understand that? You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, that's ultimately what's being talked about. There are some things that are wrong and we don't do them because they're wrong, but we also don't do them because of the simple fact that it can also affect others in a negative way. And by the way, there are other things that 1 Corinthians 8 is talking about and chapter 9 is talking about, because I got to move on to the last two questions, that are wrong, that are not wrong necessarily. You know, Paul is talking about eating meat that's offered to idols, right, in the marketplace. Some Christians had a problem with that. And so you have to be considerate of their conscience. That's the whole thing of 1 Corinthians 8 and 9. And the point is Paul is in particular, let me just quote one verse to you. Verse 9 says, the Bible says, but beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. Hey, there are some things that are okay to do, right? But you don't do them in the presence of, or you don't do them to cause another brother who's weak to stumble. So in other words, when it comes to gambling, it's not just a selfish question of, well, I can handle it, I can control myself, and, you know, I have a good mode. What about your example to other people? What about if you've got a brother or sister in Christ who's a recovering gambling addict, and they see you at a penny poker table? You understand that? In other words, the things we do and the decisions we make as a Christian is not just based upon ourselves, but it's also, how are my actions affecting other people? Number four, moving on. Number four, am I honestly being a good steward of God's money? Am I honestly being a good steward of God's money? You know, the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, that God owns us. The Bible says we are bought with a price. We therefore glorify God in our body and our spirit, which is God's. In other words, if I'm a Christian, I'm owned by God. Okay? Guess what that means? Everything that I own, God owns. You understand that? Everything that I own is God's. Not just because of the fact that He owns all of creation and He makes life possible and He gives us the ability to do the things that we do, right? But more specifically, the Bible says I'm His servant and He owns everything that I own. So my money, technically, is His money. You ever thought about that? And can I honestly say that I'm being a good steward of God's money if I spend my life gambling? Let me give you some stats here before we get on to our final question, all right? Let's say 50-50 raffles, all right? Let's say hypothetically, and this kind of sometimes is the standard for 50-50 raffles, it's $2 a ticket. If you win, you get $100, right? And on average, 50 people play or participate in a 50-50 raffle. You know what that means? You have a 2% chance of winning. That's it, right? Let's say, though, you participate in a 50-50 raffle once a month, 12 times a year, and you do that for 20 years. Statistically speaking, you would eventually win, okay? Eventually, in that 20 years, though, you would spend $480 to win $240. In other words, you would lose $240. That's kind of a bad investment, isn't it? Or let me give you some things about lottery tickets. Do you realize the odds of winning the Mega Millions jackpot is 1 in 290 million? Or the odds of winning the Powerball is 1 in 292 million? You are statistically tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of times more likely to be struck by lightning in your lifetime than to win the lottery jackpot. You have a better chance of becoming the president of the United States than winning the jackpot, literally. Or think about the smaller prizes with lottery tickets. On average, one out of every 25 tickets contains a prize. These are smaller prizes. However, studies show for smaller prizes, for every $2 you spend, you get 28 cents in return. That sounds like a bad investment, doesn't it? Years ago, my kids watched this guy on YouTube. His name is Mr. Beast. You guys ever heard of him? We're showing our age if we've never heard of him, by the way. Okay, that means you're old and that's okay. But one of the things that he did at least three videos with lottery tickets years ago, and you can find these on YouTube. Go back and look at them, okay? The first time video he did in regard to gambling, he bought, because this guy's a millionaire, so he could do this, he bought $30,000 worth of scratch-off tickets, okay? And you know what? He won $21,000 back. So he lost $9,000. On another video, he bought $50,000 worth of scratch-off tickets, right? And guess what? He won $32,000 on that one. Okay? And then a third time, he bought $100,000 worth of scratch-off tickets, right? And guess what? He won $66,000. In other words, that's a lot of lottery tickets, and that's literally hours of scratching off these tickets, right? And that's more money most people would ever have to do something like that. And all three of these experiments that he did go to show that the more you gamble, the more you lose. But once you win that first time, you got to keep going because you're so excited to win again. And then before you know it, you're losing money. It's the same thing, by the way, whether it be sports betting. By the way, people who play poker for money, on average, a casual poker player who spends $1,000 loses $700 to $900 of those dollars. That sounds like a bad idea. You know what I mean? In other words, can I honestly say that if I'm a regular gambler and I'm always losing money, because you are and you know you are, that I'm being a good steward of God's money? Question number five as we close out this morning. Would winning the lottery or actually being successful at gambling make my life better? I had a friend tell me one time. He said his dad, and in older years of his life, went to a casino. Never gambled before. And on that night, won over $100,000. He then devoted the rest of his life to gambling. And there were times he won big money, like he won big pots of cash like that. But then he also proceeded to tell me, he said, but when he died absolutely broke. It didn't make his life better. In fact, I think you'll find that 30% of those who win the lottery big time, they spend all their money. Those who win the lottery, on average, are more likely to file for bankruptcy within 5 years of their win. Those who win the big ticket lottery have more life changes and more problems than they had ever imagined. The one funeral I did one time that I'll never forget when I was preaching over in Ohio, there was a man who was raised in the church. After high school, he walked away from the Lord and decided he didn't want to follow him anymore, so he devoted himself to a life of heavy drinking. And when he was in his 50s, he needed an organ transplant and was dying as a result of years of heavy drinking. But in the midst of these health problems, he won the lottery. And he won millions of dollars with the lottery. And you know what happened? He had to go into hiding. There were people that were threatening to kill him and to rob him for his weekly lottery check. They were family members and friends. I remember seeing it at the funeral, sadly, who were constantly bombarding him for, hey, can you buy me a car? Or can you give me some money? He went into hiding, all alone. He picked up that drinking habit again and drank himself to death. And it was a closed casket funeral. In other words, had he not won the lottery, I wonder if he'd still be alive. You think it's going to make your life better? Oftentimes it makes people's lives much worse. And I say all this to tell you this, church. Overall, when you ask yourself these five questions, can you honestly sit there and tell me in good conscience that it's a good idea to go to the casino? That it's a good idea to bet on sports games on your phone. that it's a good idea to go down here to the State Line coffee shop. I don't know if that's changed now or not. And use the slot machines. Can you honestly tell me you can be a faithful follower of Jesus that will make your life better? And my conclusion to that is, let's stay away from it. Let's stay far away from it as we possibly can. Okay? Even the minor things, I understand. What about the 50-50 raffle? Just stay away from it. Because if you win, the temptation to keep playing, let me tell you, it's there. And if you get lucky and win at that, you may be tempted to play something else, and you're going to be out more than $2, in other words, in the long run. Stay away from it. Let's have no part in it. You know, as followers of Jesus, let's consider these scriptures. Let's honestly consider them and give them some serious thought. Because I'm going to tell you something. Because gambling is so accessible now than it ever has been, I think we're going to see a lot more people really, really, really struggle with it. And I think we're going to see the destructive nature of it. And I think we're going to see more and more why it's good to stay away from it too. You know, I know this morning isn't necessarily a lesson on specifically salvation as much as it's specific to the concept of following Jesus. But I want you to know something here. Following Jesus includes the idea of, if Jesus is my Lord, then I have to live a certain way. But the great thing about that is, living a certain way, the way Jesus wants us to live, really truly is the best life to live in so many different ways. And I invite that for you. I invite that if you want to become a Christian, it's the best life to live. It has its challenges, it really does, but it is well worth it. Not only now, but also in the life to come. Why? Because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. I have the forgiveness of my past sins, and I'll have the forgiveness of my future sins, and so will you. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, I have hope. And because of His resurrection from the dead, one day we'll all rise from the dead. One day we'll see Him face to face, and we'll forever be with Him. I want that for you. Maybe you're here and you're not a follower, or you are a follower of Jesus, but you desire in some way to make your life right. You know, maybe whatever struggles you have, we want to help you out. If you need to respond to this invitation, why don't you come as we stand and sing?